So I think we are pretty much there, really. The end of a sermon series on growing your relationship with God. And I hope it is clear you cannot have a more important theme for a sermon series than growing your relationship with God. This is what we in our faith as Christians are about. Every other issue of life, morals, politics, ethics, ecology, what's important and what isn't, simply how we live, comes out of the foundational, formational life we have in God. In living in God, our priorities become His priorities and the priorities of His kingdom. And there is an ultimate aim as we grow our relationship with God. That is, as Jesus tells us in the gospel reading, our lives will be full of light, no part of it dark. As we fix our eye, our direction and purpose, center our minds on God, we will be filled by His light. And others cannot fail to see the light, the presence of God, radiated through our lives. As we grow our relationship with God, we will be blessed, and so will others. Today then, as this series concludes, you have on your screen a summary of what we're going to cover today. I'll summarize what we said over these last weeks about growing your relationship with God. I'll talk more about growing the habit of building this relationship. We'll review what you will see happen as you grow your relationship with God. And we'll look at the life, emphasize the life that is needed to truly grow in relationship with God. And it may be that this sermon today is a bit dense. As said before, it is good to take notes in sermons. I recommend it today. It will help you listen, or you may want to hear it again on the website. One way or another, we need to be people who are listening. A summary then of all that we've been saying over these last weeks. Next slide, please. Enjoy your daily set time with God. There's no other way to form a relationship with Him. Set yourself to live 24/7 in Him, abiding in Christ. Direct your mind to God. Pray without ceasing. Take every thought captive, all words of St. Paul. And St. Paul, writing from a prison cell in Philippians chapter 4, tells us, rejoice in our mighty God in all circumstances. Doesn't matter if it's rain or sunshine, whatever's going on, bad or good, rejoice in God in all circumstances. Bring your thoughts and feelings to Him. Out with the obsessive, addictive, negative, anxious overload of trivia. Think on what is good, on God. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We saw 2 weeks ago the words of Brother Lawrence from his classic book, The Practice of the Presence of God. Slide, please. Brother Lawrence told us that our thoughts spoil everything. There's a need to constantly be aware and turn our thoughts to God. Our thoughts spoil everything. There's a need to constantly be aware and turn our thoughts to God. So we've emphasized over these last weeks that set time with God and directing our thoughts to God through the day 24/7 are the only ways to grow our relationship with God. But I have to tell you that growing this relationship with God may not necessarily seem exciting. And the habits can take weeks, months, maybe even years to form. There can be a great apparent ordinariness in spiritual practices and the life of prayer. Much of the time, nothing seems to happen. Boredom is a feature. The desert mothers, you may have heard of the 3rd century desert fathers who went off the desert to give themselves fully to God, but there were desert mothers too. And the desert mothers gave a beautiful, typically maternal picture of the spiritual life. Slide, please. They spoke of our time with God being like a mother bird hatching her young. There are times when it must seem as if nothing is happening. And in boredom, the temptation is to take flight, give up, and go and do something more interesting. But as the mother bird perseveres, staying through the boredom, the wonder of new life comes. In our relationship with God, in the set times, the 10 minutes minimum a day we give, the key quality we need is perseverance. to allow God to stir through our boredom to bring his new life. If we are to grow in God, we have to persevere day by day in setting habits in the spiritual practices. Next slide, please. Psychologists tell us that it takes 800 repetitions for a habit to form and become part of us. Most habits form unconsciously within us. We simply act and behave in accord with the norms of our society. We do what everyone else does. We serve Mammon in all the myriad ways that it has its grip without realizing, without thinking. Habits of Mammon have been formed in us. To form the habit of giving our life to God in set time and in our thinking 24/7 takes much repetition before becoming simply what we do, who we are. Habit formation then is vital in growing our relationship with God. And we should be aware that it may be particularly difficult to take every thought captive, turning our thoughts positively to God. Because again, psychologists tell us from brain studies that negativity sticks in our neural pathways like Velcro. Our brain holds on to fear, problems, and so on, but positivity, gratitude, happiness apparently slide away like Teflon. These psychologists tell us that you need to hang on to a positive thought for at least 15 seconds for it to stick in your brain. And it may be that what I'm saying here about growing your relationship with God sounds very similar to contemporary well-being, power of positive thinking type science and pop psychology. And yes, of course it is. There are no insights into the human condition that cannot not already be found in the Bible. CBT therapy, for example, from what I know, sounds very similar to take every thought captive. Of course, our brain patterns, neural pathways, our whole sense of well-being will be blessed if we simply do what the Bible tells us. And I should emphasize, by the way, that none of what we're saying in this need for habit formation in spiritual practice takes away from or denies the need in some cases for skilled CBT and other forms of counseling. But there is, of course, much, much more going on as we set ourselves openly and explicitly to grow in God in ways that can never be true in the secular world. Slide, please. We know we come to God in the context of his loving reality, his grace. We touch the fringe of his presence and he invites us to plunge into his love. Dive into the unfathomable depths, be lifted towards his indescribable heights and float in his love without boundaries. The length, height, depth of the love of God celebrated in the reading we heard from Ephesians. As we give ourselves to God into his presence, we encounter his mighty love, grace, and power. And there is all the possibility that you can be filled with his mighty love, grace, and power. Filled to the measure, that is the brim, with the fullness of God. Such a life is so much more than anything that can be found in the secular world. Slide, please. Thomas R. Kelly, in his classic book, Testament of Devotion, writes this: the life that intends to be wholly obedient, wholly submissive, wholly listening, is astonishing in its completeness. Its joys are ravishing, its peace profound, its humility the deepest, its simplicity that of a trusting child. It is the life and power in which the prophets and apostles lived. It is the life and power of Jesus of Nazareth, who knew that when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. Quoting there, of course, the verse we heard earlier from the gospel reading, Luke 11:34. This power and purpose cannot be found in secular psychology. Only in growing your relationship with God can you fulfill your life's purpose, to be filled by God, his light, that you will be a light to others. As you know more and more of God in your life, you will find reality. You'll find you live in the way that God intended you to do, and there will be a paradoxical approach in your view of life. For yourself, you'll be loosened from cares and desires of this world. You'll have broken the habits of Mammon. But you will also have an ever deeper care for the sorrows of the world. You will be a part of God's loving concern for his suffering world, his people, his creation. So there is nothing more important you can do with your life than grow in relationship with God, to know him, to be filled with his fullness. This life is possible for you. It is possible for all. The only question is, will you choose it? Will you set yourself to grow your relationship with God? Brother Lawrence summed up in How to Attain Living in the Presence of God. And I'm going to use this as a summary as we conclude this series. The slide, please. Brother Lawrence writes, to truly know the presence of God, six things are required. First, a great purity of life, by which he surely means not allowing sin to sit in our lives. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, but our determination has to be not to stay there. And then secondly, great faithfulness in the practice of his presence, keeping the soul's gaze upon God quietly, humbly and lovingly, without giving way to difficulties or worries. This is what we've been saying over these last weeks, praying without ceasing, living 24/7 in God. Thirdly and fourthly, you begin your actions, continue them and finish them with an inward lifting of the heart to God. And you use interiorly short ejaculations such as, my God, I am wholly yours. Again, that encouragement to form those habits in turning to God through the day. You may have your own simple word of faith that comes from our faith, a truth of our faith that you will say in those anxious moments, taking captive your thoughts in the sleepless nights. The one that I use at the moment is simply, Jesus is Lord. When the negativity, the anxiety, whatever comes, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. We believe that. That is why we're here. Say it, make it part of our living existence. And then fifth, Brother Lawrence reminds us, as we've been saying throughout this, there needs to be perseverance. Keep sitting on the nest until the life comes, until it is hatched. Key qualities of the spiritual life. And then last of all, control of the senses is taken for granted. It is impossible for the soul, inordinately fond of earthly things, to find complete joy in the presence of God. But to be with the Creator, it is necessary to give up whatever is created. This is not to say, of course, we do not enjoy the world. We are to enjoy it fully in all of its sensuous glory. But it is to say we will not grow in God unless we put him first, that we may enjoy the glory of the world fully, properly, in the way that God wants us to. So will you live in this way? Will you truly know that your fulfillment, your life's purpose, is to live, to practice the first commandment? Because that is, of course, it was what we've actually been saying over these last weeks. The first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. Will you grow your relationship with God? Amen.